You're listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by our friends at Watson.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch. And my goodness, you're looking very well today. So whatever you do, keep it up. Anywho, and so we're here to do another great episode, and we've got our usual cast of characters here. We've got Joe down there driving. As you can tell, he's driving. He's in Wisconsin, I believe. And Leslie's over there. Hi, Leslie. How are you?
Really, really good. How are you?
And finally, we got Glenna to come back because she's been kind of absent from our episodes. So
finally,
she's back. Have you found a
finally,
home?
Finally,
are you here. Are you living in a home or a hovel or traveling?
This is actually this is the RV. This is the bedroom of the RV.
RV travel. All right. And
Joe, been home for a while.
What kind of vehicle are you driving, Joe? He's frozen. He doesn't want to talk. Now he says that is not good.
Those candid pictures are great.
Just into Wisconsin.
What kind of car are you driving, Joe?
Just got into Wisconsin.
All right. God, he doesn't.
We'll just leave it at a nice one.
Not a nice one.
Wow. This is a way to kick off a really exciting episode, watching Joe drive. Anyway. So.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a very special guest today, and our guest is Rebecca. And Rebecca, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to talk about your topic you want to discuss. So tell us a little bit about you.
My name is Rebecca Biederman. I am a communication supervisor. Been a supervisor for about 5 years now at a small agency in LA County. I have been a dispatcher for almost 30 years now. So yes, I started when I was five.
Wow.
You guys can do the math there.
Wow.
I teach at a couple of the dispatch academies locally and present at some conferences. That's how I met a lot of the people on here today. I'm really excited to be a part of this today.
Well, we're glad to have you, and your topic today is awesome. It's becoming a new supervisor, going into a place as a new supervisor and feeling that sense of everybody going, thank goodness you're here. We're so
glad. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much.
Yeah.
So they're really open to change.
Well, of course
yes, they
are.
And new people.
And I believe Leslie, me, and Glenna have all promoted in-house. We were all working at a place where we suddenly became supervisors, which was kind of
suddenly point. Without warning.
Yes. Yeah,
well, yours was
woke
very
up one day.
And Joe, how about you? How did you work there as a dispatcher and then promote, or did you? What were your deal?
Originally, I promoted at an outside agency, and then I went back to the agency I started at and promoted from outside technically, but inside because I knew everybody that already worked there because I had spent 6 years there. So I got a little experience in both from the outside and from the inside.
I think it's certainly different dynamic.
Yeah, much so. So Rebecca, tell us a little bit about your experience. What was it? I mean, when you went back there, you had to interview for this place, right? And then they interviewed you and you said you're going to come on board. Did they at least tell you, like, let me tell you a little bit about our staff? Are they saying anything at all? Or you just came in cold or what?
Did they use the word brutal?
So it was a brand new supervisor position. There wasn't a civilian supervisor even in the department for dispatch.
So it was a uniform person that was in charge?
It was a sergeant at the time that was in charge. So they basically ran themselves. Yeah.
Was the sergeant somebody who wanted to be in dispatch, or was it somebody who said, I got to do some time before I can promote?
He was voluntold.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right. So how did that go? How'd you go? Like your first day, how'd you like walk in and say, hey, y'all, I'm here. And guess what?
We're making it. Yay.
they welcomed me with open arms.
Oh,
I'm sure.
No. So we were incredibly short staffed at the time that I started, kind of like everybody is. So I kind of just came in sort of as a lateral trainee. I sat with one of the senior dispatchers for probably about 4 weeks or so, because it was a new CAD system. It was a new, obviously a new city and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I trained with her for a little while. And then I basically was working the floor while being a supervisor or learning how to be a supervisor as well. So.
Oh, wow.
And you were working by yourself, right? There was no other supervisor, just you.
Correct.
So curious, because I've heard this happen in the past. Were you hired as a supervisor who was going to dispatch, or were you just you were there to be a supervisor and you weren't expected to work the floor.
I was there to be a supervisor. There was some, I think, kind of misunderstanding on sort of both sides. My understanding.
They had no clue.
And as a supervisor, the staff's understanding was that I was coming in as a dispatcher who supervised.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Lord.
That could create some problems. Yeah, that could.
Yeah, and it did. It did actually for quite a while. So yeah. I think probably my number one recommendation for anybody that's bringing in a supervisor from the outside is make sure that those expectations are clear on both sides. Mm-hmm. They're clear for people that, you know, are coming into the position, but they're also clear for the staff. So they know what, you know, what this person's expectations are. Yeah, you know,
right.
I've seen at some agencies where, you know, supervisors aren't expected to dispatch. So maybe you've got one supervisor that does dispatch and one supervisor that doesn't dispatch. Mm-hmm. And that causes a lot of discord.
Yeah,
it does.
Oh, yeah. That happened at my agency. We had a supervisor that came from the outside, was not expected to dispatch. Wow. And I say we because I was a dispatcher then. I mean, we chewed her up and spit her out. We did not give her any mercy. And they just kept saying, how can you supervise me if you don't know how to do my job?
Right.
I mean, like in the case of Rebecca, where you were, I mean, there was a sergeant there. You know, why were they okay with a sergeant who didn't know how to do their job? But then when the civilian came in. Yes, ma'am.
Because for whatever reason, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but in my experience, it seems as though somebody who wears a gun and a badge automatically garners more respect than someone who is civilian. Because that's an absolute perfect point. You've got a sergeant who probably was never a dispatcher, and that's one thing. Now you've got somebody coming in, and I'm sure the line level people expected that, oh, good, she's coming, so I don't have to work as much overtime. But then that misunderstanding, and now suddenly it's, you know, World War III kind of thing. So I agree, Rebecca, making sure those expectations are known is going to be critical for everybody involved. But did you eventually, because it sounds like now that you said that was kind of in the past and at the beginning, how did that transition into where you are right now?
So actually it took a lot of support from my administration. At one point, she was my captain at the time. She's now my chief. She had said, you're not working the floor. You're not working overtime unless I approve it. You're not covering because they're taking advantage, you know, they could potentially take advantage of that. And she said, that's not what I need you doing. I need you doing, you know, X, Y, and Z administratively.
Wow.
Which again, didn't go over very well, but I mean, it was what was needed was for it to come from that higher level. And at one point during a dispatch meeting, once she became chief, she said, you know, I'm sorry that was the expectation that you guys had at the beginning, but you know, we're 4 years in at the time. And she said, that's not her position. That's not what I have her doing. So I'm sorry that that's what you understood, but it's not what it is.
Wow. That had to be a difficult couple of months or year or whatever it was over there. It's like, because you came in as a supervisor somewhere else, right?
Yes, at a different agency.
So you had the skills of like communication with somebody, how to handle discipline, how to talk to people, all that stuff already. So at least you didn't come in blind. Like, good luck. I mean, you know,
I had worked as like an acting floor supervisor before. I never was formally, you know, an assigned supervisor.
Yeah.
Prior to coming into my current agency. So I was learning the position. I was learning the agency and they were learning me, you know, I think that is one thing that, you know, I know from my history, somebody new comes in and it's difficult. You have to learn them. You have to learn, you know, their style, all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, to their credit, they also they also were going through massive change and a learning curve, just like I was.
I mean, that's change is expected. And Joe, you said you went, you left and then came back to your center. Yep. Was there a dynamic change? Because people are like, remember when you used to work here and you did this and that?
Remember when you were cool?
Yeah,
that definitely came up. But I would say there's two things. I want to talk about the agency I went to. Mm-hmm. So the agency I went to, I made the biggest mistake, and this is something I would tell all new supervisors, is I kept talking about the agency that I came from rather than becoming the agency that I went to. I didn't do that fast enough. And I teach that all over the nation whenever I would go around and speak, is when you switch agencies, make sure it's all about your new agency.
Yeah.
And if they want to hear about your old agency, then talk about your old agency. But I would refrain from doing that proactively. Then when I went back to the agency I started at, they definitely reminded me of, remember when you used to and now you're harping on us? So it was reestablishing relationships in the new dynamic, which took a little bit.
Yeah.
And I would say be patient when you get promoted from within and build a different relationship or a new relationship with people, as working with them as a coworker might be different in how they want to be led as a person. So don't think you may know how they really want to be led just because you worked with them before.
And
said
before, that Glenna and Leslie and I've all had that same kind of experience. Leslie, when you promoted from within, was it a, Leslie, remember the days when you used to be like this?
Oh yeah. And when I was promoted, and I still think that we struggle with this as a profession. When I was promoted, there was not a lot of civilian supervisor training. So it really was good luck.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to hear from Rebecca. Okay. So how, you know, what did you do? And especially for those who may be listening and they're transitioning into this role, or they're thinking about promoting and going to another agency, how do you establish those expectations and those relationships starting from the very beginning? Because at least they don't know your history, which can be a good thing or a bad thing. But, you know, how do you establish those relationships moving forward? Because I think, Joe, you've got a great point. It is all about the relationships and the rapport that you build with people.
Yeah. And I mean, as tough as it was to try and learn how to be a supervisor while working the floor, I do think it had its pluses, because they were able to see, okay, she doesn't just say she knows what she's doing. She can do the job. She knows, you know, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And I think just finding what worked for each person, finding how to talk to each person, was kind of the biggest thing, because I didn't know them personally. And so the disadvantage that I had from, you know, Glenna, Leslie, and Doug was that, you know, I didn't know maybe what worked for, you know, certain people the way they were. I remember one time that the way that one of my dispatchers was a little taken aback by it, but then I started listening and I realized, hey, that's how she understands things, because she would ask a lot of questions. And, you know, to me, you know, kind of starting out and growing up in the environment that I did, questioning was questioning, you know, as opposed to questioning as a way of understanding. So working with them definitely allowed me to learn those things, as opposed to just being in the office and not having that partner relationship with them as well.
So I have a question, because I raised my hand because I'm fine. Because sometimes this might happen. Was there anyone inside your agency that had gone for the job that still part of your staff, but they had not been chosen to take the supervisor role? And how did you work through that?
Yes. Yes, there was. So there was actually two. One of them left to go to another agency a couple of weeks after I started.
Oh.
And one of them is still there. And I think I think relying on their historical expertise and their historical knowledge still allowed them to feel value.
Mm.
you know, that maybe maybe they weren't chosen for the position, but I still knew that there were things that they knew that I didn't.
Yeah. You sounds know? Like Joe's got something. He was raising his hand.
I was trying to raise my hand as well.
I thought he was waving. I'm like, hi.
I thought he was waving like me too.
When I went to the agency, when I first promoted to being a supervisor or leader, there were two people. It was a consolidation where they merged the city and the county together. And they had been supervisors at their agency prior to, and now they were no longer supervisors at the agency that we merged.
Wow. Oh, hardcore.
Wow.
And I came in with no leadership experience. So it took years to build the relationship with both of them. But I'm proud to say that I just went to the chief's retirement a few months ago, and one of them actually came up to me and gave me a tremendous hug and was glad to see me. So you can build those relationships even when people aren't chosen for the profession. If you mm-hmm. understand they're going through a tough time with it and they have to adjust as well, rather than taking it personally when maybe they're lashing out at you or whatever it might be. So just still try to build that relationship with them and give them something to do so that you honor, like somebody said, honoring their skill set as well, so that they right. still feel involved mm-hmm. in the process.
Yeah, give them something Absolutely. To do, and then tell them, you know what, if you're a little bit stronger, you could have been a supervisor. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Wow.
That's Doug. Right that's there. So Doug.
Well, I will tell you what, Rebecca, that time went so quickly right there, almost 20 minutes on the clock right now. So
wow.
we've already gone through it, but it's such a great topic. And I mean, I know we could be talking on this topic for probably an hour or so. Just one on what Leslie said a while ago about how everybody has no problem with uniform people taking over a comm center, but they certainly wouldn't want a dispatcher taking over the uniform side. But anyway, that's my soapbox. Anyway, so we definitely appreciate you coming by. And Joel, can you give us the stats on our social media accounts? What we got?
Oh, we are all over Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. We're all over the place. Make sure you listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. 25,000 plays, 40 plus countries. We are out there for you to listen to.
That is some awesome stuff out there. So, Rebecca, thanks for stopping by and dropping your topic on us right there like that. Thanks for Glenna and Leslie and Joe and John somewhere out in the Ethernet somewhere.
He was here in spirit.
That's right, you're in spirit. But we definitely appreciate everybody coming by, so thanks a lot. Make it a great day, folks. Go out and make it.
Thank you for listening to We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by your friends at Watson Consoles.